Lord, we just come to you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for everything you do for us,
Amen.
With us, through us, in us, about us, and all the things, Lord. You're just an awesome God, and we don't deserve you. Yet you continue to lavish us with love and forgiveness and patience and kindness and your generosity, Lord. And just thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for your word. And thank you for this group, as small as it is, Lord. We just lift up those who haven't been coming here lately and pray that you would help them to, whatever's going on that they haven't been, Lord, that you would help them to get it all worked out and bring them back, because we miss them when they're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank you for that. And we lift up this time that we spend together today, Lord. And we just pray that your presence would be here, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that your Holy Spirit would fill this room and fill the sanctasium and just fill this whole church, Lord, as we come together to worship and praise and come closer to you today. We just thank you and we praise you, Lord, and we offer this up in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.
Okay, so the Philippians 1:19, the number 30 on our list says the Spirit supplies us with Christ. And when I read that, I went, huh? And so I looked up the scripture, of course, and this is what Philippians 1:19 says. It says, oh, I lost it. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And I kind of struggled to put that verse together with what this the lesson was about. Now, I originally found this list, right, online, and then I expand on it every week. Some of them are the scripture and the verse, or the message of what the Spirit does is spot on, and some not so much, and I think this one is not so much. I don't think this one really says that the Spirit supplies us with Christ. So I looked at a bunch of different versions trying to find one that said that, and I didn't find any of them that said that.
Good.
Does anyone have a version that actually in that verse says that the Spirit supplies us with Christ?
Mine says, the ESV version says, that the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance.
Yeah, the help of the Spirit.
The help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Given by the Spirit. Mine says.
Yeah. Given? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I'm the ESV version, because I'm a dummy.
So. Help given. Or did you just not say it?
Oh, no, it says right here, the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ,
This
will turn out for my deliverance.
Yeah.
So I don't have the word given.
So it talks, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of Christ, but it says that it will help him through. It will get him through. I'm not sure how it says the Spirit supplies us with Christ, because it's kind of the other way around. Christ supplies us with the Spirit. Now, I know that we can't even come to Christ without the Holy Spirit calling us, but I just struggled with that. So I read a little more. I went back to 12, and I read 12 through 30. So here's what 12 through 30 is, to put some context into that verse.
Okay, the Spirit is Jesus.
Yes.
When we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Why do we do that?
The same connection. The same thing.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. Yeah. I mean, it's all the three, the Trinity of God. And
but I feel like I'm leaving out Jesus when I start off and pray, Father, I'd like to thank you for blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, and I pray and thank you for that in Jesus' name. I feel like I'm leaving Jesus out more than I am the Father. But I always come back and say, Jesus, I praise you and bless you and thank you for your sacrifice, and continue to ask him also, because I feel like I'm leaving Jesus out more than I am the Father. Does that make sense to you?
When the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit one?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter, right?
I get
so
what
we're covered by. Yeah, that makes good sense.
Honestly, when I pray, and sometimes my, you know, depending on what I'm praying about, I kind of interchange. I mean,
yeah, that's what I've been
I will doing. Say Father, I will say Jesus, I'll say, you know, and I'll get all three. I'll get all three.
Yeah.
It
I
just
say
depends
King
on,
Jesus.
Yeah, it just depends King on what it is that I'm praying, you know, or whatever. I'm thankful. Usually when I'm thankful to all three. But,
right.
you know, usually I say thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the Trinity. It's all God.
It's all God.
He interprets our prayers.
The Holy Spirit.
We pray, but it's...
The Holy Spirit will interpret, yes,
mm-hmm.
and interpret it, and even pray for us, or come, you know, take our grunts and groans, even when we don't know what to pray. The Holy Spirit will pray before for us,
right,
and intervene.
It's probably more heart than word of mouth.
Well, here's a little context, though, on what that verse is actually about. If you go back to verse 12, it starts out and it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. And here's 19, for I know that through your prayers and help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convicted of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of God, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So this whole thing is really about Paul being in chains, in prison, and looking at it from the point of view that it doesn't matter that he's in chains in prison. The gospel is still being furthered. And some people are even more encouraged because he's willing to go that far following Christ. They're even more encouraged, saying, oh, well, if he's willing to go to prison, maybe I better get out there and do more. You know, so he's saying that some of the brothers were even more encouraged by him, and that it doesn't matter what happens to him as long as Christ is still being preached.
Now, this is Paul.
Sorry. Yeah.
Writing to the Christian church in Philippi, right?
Yes.
I just want to make sure. Okay.
But he considers it a privilege to suffer for Christ. How much do we consider your privilege?
I don't think most of us see it that way.
You just used to see her face when she said privilege.
Yeah.
That was classic.
I was kind of thinking back,
yeah.
And I would say, so of course, David, my husband, wasn't.
Right, right, yeah, right.
And I'm telling you what, I went through some times with him.
You sure did. I remember talking about that. Ooh, man. Tough times.
We usually whine and complain and ask him to take away the suffering every time we're suffering. Don't we? I mean, that's what most of us do.
Before I came to the Lord, when I went to prison, I knew this. I had no one to call on but God. I never called on him for nothing, but when you get in trouble and you don't know what to do, all of a sudden you're calling on God for his help, and I promise you, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. That don't work. Don't work like that.
Right.
A lot of guys did that. A lot of guys are like, man, I ain't got my mama, and there's no money on my books for commissary. I can't get nothing to eat. I better go down to the chapel and start praising God.
Yeah.
They did too. They did.
And for Paul, there was no commissary. There was no chapel. There was no,
nothing.
There
like
was
that.
No mama.
Right.
In fact,
a lot of people find God though when they're in trouble like that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy on death row that gave himself to Jesus and repented of all his sins and was blessed right in his death row cell by the Lord.
Yep.
And it's amazing how he works. This was just recent. I seen it on Fox News about a week ago, I think it was. Last week, yeah. And some death row inmate surrendered his life over to the care of Jesus and was blessed in his cell. And he's been renewed in the spirit. And so,
that's awesome.
That is good stuff, man.
I got a grandfather that was a warden who gets to prison. We're transitioning back to getting out of prison.
Yeah.
And they have a newspaper that goes out, I think, once a month, that goes to all the prisons around the world, spreading the word of the gospel.
Yeah.
He goes to the word of, Church of God over in Newark.
Yeah,
off the gun. Yeah, like a dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Trumpeter. That's what it is. Yeah.
What is it?
The Trumpeter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that will seek God and try to find God, you know, when they're in trouble or when they're in jail or you know, when they're suffering, whether it's, you know, a really bad toothache or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what it is. And I'm eating Jolly Rancher soft chews on top of that. That's I'm eating on that side over there.
Sorry.
I'm a mess. Help me.
But the thing is, you know, I mean, I did Cairo's prison ministry for a few years, and you know, that was amazing. You know, that was wonderful. We went in there and was in there for several days in a row. We took in all their meals, which of course was, you know, so many levels above what they was getting fed in there, because we had all of these wonderful cooks that were back at a church that, you know, they were staying at that was local, that was cooking up all of these meals fresh. And, you know, we took in all their meals and all that stuff and 10,000 dozen cookies, which is got a whole other
10,000 dozen?
10,000 dozen.
It was 10,000 dozen.
10,000 dozen. That's what we take in, literally.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
And that has a whole story in itself. But the first time that we did it, we went, we said they didn't want to let us in. They're like, no. We don't let religious organizations in, and you know, all this kind of stuff. And so kept working and working and working with it. And finally, after it was probably a good year, maybe a year and a half, they decided they was going to let us try. And we told them we wanted all of the leaders of the different organizations and different communities there, and they said, no, you don't want the leaders. And we went, yeah, that's exactly who we want. We want the leaders. We want the leaders of the gangs. We want the leaders of all the stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we want. And, you know, we didn't know if we were going to get them or not, because it was a volunteer that they hadn't come, right?
Right.
We were praying and praying and praying, and, you know, there's like a group of 50 guys that was going in there, you know. So we had all these different churches and different people praying, And that's exactly what happened. I mean, we got the leaders. We got the worst of the worst. We got the bad guys. And when we went in there to start the program, we'll call it, you know, we went into the gymnasium where they had tables and stuff set up. They had armed guards. You know, these guys had to go through strict security and stuff just to come in. They had armed guards standing by the doors the whole time. And, you know, it was a big, big deal.
Sure.
But the coolest thing about that is I watched several of these hardcore tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
Just melt.
Cry like a baby.
Just melt with the love of Christ.
That's it, man.
You know,
that's how it
works. Just melt is just incredible.
Guys you think would never shed a tear over anything.
Guys would never shed a tear.
That's
there
right.
There was one gentleman that...
I've seen it too.
There was one gentleman that when he walked down the hall, he had six guards walking with him.
Wow.
He had two in front, two behind, and one on each side. And as they walked down the main hallways, everyone moved to the other side. And
wow.
When he came walking into the program, I was like, oh, like you could just feel it. You could just feel that darkness and stuff. And
was he transformed?
He was transformed.
Amen.
And he ended
Amen.
Up being one of the leaders that kept things going in that
wow,
place.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and this was in Lebanon.
Oh, yeah. I'm good at that.
But it was an amazing thing. But, you know, a lot of people will seek out and find something or seek out and find God when they're in prison or when they're so desperate and hitting bottom and things like that. But the difference here with Paul is Paul was in prison because of his faith.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't go around robbing people or anything like that. He was there because he wouldn't shut up. And, you know, that is suffering for Christ. A lot of times we suffer just from our own consequences, you know, stuff that we do and things that we cause ourselves. And then we might turn to God. But he was doing the suffering literally for Christ. And I don't know how much I've ever really suffered for Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
Good point. That's
I've given point. Up things. I've sacrificed some things. I've taken risks and chances. I mean, you know, going into that prison was a risk. You know, we had to sign papers saying you might not come out.
That's true.
You know, and we knew that. Going and living on the boat in Brazil for a couple of weeks, you know, that was taking a risk. You're far away from anything. You know, you could get bit by some poisonous creature and die before they get you back anywhere.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, there's risks and stuff like that I've taken over time, but I don't know how much I've really suffered for Christ. You know?
I got a story. 2 months ago, I went to my first prison in Chillicothe, and I've been to the VA across the street, but never been on the side. But we went in there for appreciation dinner. For some reason, they had my name on the list, so I had to call the warden, had to wait there, and I tried to crack some jokes, but they're serious, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're serious.
But it was in the chapel, though. There was a minister that he's retiring, nice guy, and they had a red lobster that served, and the prisoners, most of them that were on good behavior, I guess, were serving the dinner that was catered in. But yeah, it was an experience. I mean, gorgeous chapel, though. Mm-hmm. It's like the best thing on the Chillicothe. But it went into a locked position, like you're going to a safe,
yeah.
You can't get out. But we're in the yard, have dogs there. Cute dogs. Man.
Cute dogs.
No,
they have guys in prison that train dogs. They train the dogs.
Yeah.
And then eventually the dog ends up going to a house outside the prison. Someone will adopt the dog.
Right.
You get on the website, you can adopt the dog through the prison. But these guys are trainers. There may be ten dogs in the whole prison. And then each guy that signs up for it gets a dog to train, and they train them from when they're puppies to they're full grown.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so obedient, it's not funny. And so people will adopt them from the prison. You know, it's a pretty neat setup they got.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So fortunate to
share.
What's that?
Their prison's over there wasn't much at this time.
No.
When
oh,
I was
no.
in Israel, it showed them down, not, you know, like they were down.
Underground, not underground, but.
Down low. They, I mean, where they couldn't get out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were like dungeons. I mean, they were, down in pits and
well, if you stop and think about it.
Yeah, that's way down in the ground.
Most of the Bible was written by prisoners.
Yeah.
People that were in prison. Well, I don't know. I can't use the word convicts. People that didn't obey the law back then.
A lot of the New Testament. Yeah.
A lot of the New Testament, yeah. Not, I don't mean the old, but the New Testament was written by people that were in prison, so.
I don't know if you think Moses gave the Old Testament.
What's that?
Moses gave the Old Testament.
Most of it?
Yeah.
Well, there were 5 books.
Oh, did he?
Well,
you have
the Pentateuch. Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, there was.
They usually tell.
Yeah, there were different ones that were written.
Do you ever wonder if we're missing anything that should be in there that never ever got put in there during the history?
Have I ever wondered that? Yes, because I've read a lot of other books that are books of Scripture. I've read stuff that called it the lost books of the Bible and all kinds of stuff.
Or the
like
Dead
that.
Sea Scrolls.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls don't have anything in them that's not in here, though.
All that's in there.
Yeah, there are other books that are Gospels that are written by different people that did not make it into our Christian Bible.
Right.
A lot of it is the same. It's the same stories, and when they put together what was going to go into the Bible, they put together what was. I guess they didn't want to be extremely repetitive and just put in everything that everybody had ever written. You know, you couldn't fit it all in there.
Right.
But. Those who decided what was going in there, I mean. Yeah. And I'm not saying that some other scriptures that were, or some other, not scriptures, some other gospels that were written weren't inspired too. They may have been inspired as well.
I think God gave us what we really need.
Yeah, but I think, I agree with that. I think that God helped to put this thing together.
So what happened to the book of Eli? It's in there?
The book of Eli.
Yeah.
Is in where? In here?
Not in our Bible.
No.
Did you ever see the movie, The Book of Eli?
Yeah.
Was that a book of the Bible that was supposed to be in there?
No, that was the Bible.
That was the whole Bible?
You're talking about the movie with
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, that was the Bible.
That was the whole Bible?
That was the Bible that he was transporting that was... there wasn't any Bibles around anymore, right?
Right, this was after the Revelation.
Yeah, and that was the Bible, but the weird thing at the end was nobody could read that.
He had the whole thing memorized.
It was, well, I think it was in Braille.
Was it? Well, that's a good thing to research. I think I'm going to research.
What are you talking about?
Talking about a movie. He's talking about a movie.
I wonder I couldn't follow.
Yeah. All right. So I think that the person took this a little bit out of text context when they said that the Spirit supplies us with Christ. I don't want to argue that point because the Spirit gives us Christ and Christ gives us the Holy Spirit, and we have to have the Spirit to come to Christ, and we can't do that unless we already have the Spirit's prompting. And so, you know, like we said, it's the Holy Spirit, it's Christ, it's God, it's the Father, it's all three. But I think this particular scripture that he gave, 119, is talking about Paul being locked in prison and furthering the gospel. And people were encouraged. And I think he had rumors of execution when he's talking about, he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I think, I do know that, I think it's, I love the encouragement that this passage gives when it talks about being bold and courageous and fearless in sharing Christ. Because that's what we need to be doing. We need to be bold and we need to be we need to be fearless, because almost everyone that I talk to that says, I don't really share my faith with people because I don't really think I know enough, or I don't know how they're going to respond, or I don't know that I'm the one that should be sharing because there's other people that know more than me or do more than me. I think a lot of that is kind of seated with some fear. It's fear of judgment. It's fear of looking or sounding silly. It's fear of sometimes I've heard people say, well, I'm afraid I won't do it justice. Like, I don't think I know the scripture well enough, and I won't do it justice, and I'll disappoint God. You know, so there's all kinds of different reasons and things that stop us, but I think it boils down to fear. I think when we don't share the word, it's some kind of fear that usually gets in the way. Do you agree? Disagree?
Yeah,
that may be so for some people.
Yeah, I was trying to pray one time. Hey, yeah. It's the worst thing that comes up. It's like you get scared when you're in front of someone.
Yeah.
Remember that text throw out? That kind of thing? Yeah, we had to wait an hour. They said, well, you want to share a table with you always? Yeah, sure. So I said, can I pray? Yeah. They like it though. Yeah.
A lot of people will say, well, I'm afraid to pray in public. I won't pray in public because I'm afraid to. And I'm like, well, what are you afraid of?
Right. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, but
did Tina share a video with you that I sent her? Uh-uh. Did you see what happened Friday?
No.
I sent it to your phone. Because I don't have you on Messenger. Or you're not on Messenger. Right.
Oh, I have a Facebook account. I just don't.
Yeah, I know.
I just don't.
Yeah, I know you don't. Well, I might as well share with the group. I was broke down at AutoZone in Heath.
Ah,
Heath. Huh?
I didn't know where you were broken down, but yeah, you told me you broke down.
Yeah.
Darn.
And
Chicago.
I'm sitting there waiting on Brandon, and I see this guy coming with a white cane and a red tip. Do I need to say any more? He was healed by Jesus.
I can assume.
He was healed by Jesus right there. And the man and the woman were both Christians. She was driving a Lyco van. You know Lyco? For the mentally and visually. This guy was visually impaired. Everything, when his eyes was open, it was nothing but a blur. The first time I prayed, when I put my hand on his head, he instantly got some healing. And by the third time I prayed, he was sitting in the van looking out the window going, oh my God, I can't believe it. Oh my God. And the woman reaches over and touches him on my arm. Isn't God good? And this was a client of Lyco's. She was taken to the store. And I seen him come out, and I immediately hopped out of my truck and went straight to him. Boldness. You were talking about boldness.
That's boldness.
So I shared it with everybody on Facebook. It was awesome. It's just another demonstration of the Holy Spirit.
And that takes boldness, faith. And boldness.
Right, but I used
but that, to. That takes boldness to step up and say, I'm doing this, and step out of that comfort zone. But it also takes boldness to pray for that healing, because if the person's not healed,
right,
then.
I already know what you're going to say.
You could possibly look foolish.
Well, guess what?
You don't care.
Sometimes not everybody gets healed because it's not God's will for
them. I know.
Okay, so this is a fallen world we live in. So if you look at it in the I used to worry about what kind of result I was going to get before I did it.
Right.
I'd go, oh, Jesus, man, please come through on this one for me. Please be here. Let's go do this right now. But you know what? What I learned was don't even think about that and just go.
Right.
Just go and don't worry about the outcome of the result. Because ultimately, it's up to him whether that person receives the healing or not. And as soon as I saw him, I immediately hopped out of the truck, and I was right in front of him within 3 seconds. They were parked right in front of me in the next lane. You know, it was amazing.
I think that's fantastic.
That's the second blind person I prayed healing for. The first one was on 21st Street at the Dairy Queen. It was a female.
Yeah, I remember that.
Second one now. So yeah, it was a great day Friday. Even though I was broke down, but it didn't matter because people came to my rescue.
That's awesome.
And what a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. It was. I couldn't stop praising God so much. I was in there. I went back to the truck, started crying like a little baby. You know what I mean?
But you know what? You know how? I mean, what is it? What is it that is giving you? What is it that makes you successful in that kind of ministry that you're doing right now?
Faith.
Yeah.
Faith. From day one, when He convicted me and brought me here, it's been 16 months since I started doing this, following Jesus. And when He shared with Brandon Wilson in that deliverance room the first day I was here, which was the day after I called Pastor Steve, I was in here the next day. He sent Brandon to come and get me. Brandon brought me in, and I sat in front of six or seven people in the deliverance room. And the first night I was here, I've never set foot in this church ever in my life. I've never been here. I didn't know anybody out here other than Dave and Dorothy. And I was in that room for 3 hours getting deliverance. And before I left, Brandon put his hand on my shoulder and shared a story from me, from my childhood, from when I was 8 years old. How awesome is that? I didn't know Brandon from nobody. I didn't know none of these people there. So the Holy Spirit gave him a vision. He came across to me and told me about what my mother did to me in the kitchen when I was 8 years old. I took it a step further because I was in disbelief. I was like, wait a minute. You know, this is when I was first getting clean and getting off all the substance. I took a piece of paper and this. I wanted clarity. I said, draw the kitchen. I did. And he drew the kitchen to a T, the kitchen of the house that I grew up in Cleveland, where the doors were, where the cupboards were at, where Mom was standing, where I was standing, with everything. I said, okay, that's enough. I said, okay, that's enough, right? So I go home that night, and I sit on the couch, and I look out the window. For 4 hours, all I did was stare out the window, and I'm saying, oh my God, Jesus is real. He is alive. There is a God. There is a heaven. And that's how He convicted me. Now, that's a pretty strong conviction for a newbie, right?
Yes.
I'm a newbie, right? So from that point to where I'm at today, all the stuff that's happened in between, every time something happens, someone gets healed or someone gets a blessing or someone gets this or that, each time the faith meter goes higher and higher and higher. And then you begin to just go and do it and not even think about the outcome because you know Jesus is going to be there to support you.
And you know that He can do anything.
I seen Him make a heater in a car work for a homeless guy that didn't have no heat in the parking lot of Walmart on 21st Street.
Yeah. Anything. It doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be.
You've been blessed by God yourself.
My mother said the same thing, Dorothy.
So you see the real thing.
Yeah. And I... Because He was so strong in the way He convicted me, there's nobody that can tell me that it wasn't Jesus that did that. Satan himself could not take that away from me because it was so powerful. There's only one person you can relate that to, and that's Him. Nobody else. There's nobody else that could have done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from that point forward, for me, every time I prayed or did something, it just got, faith got stronger and stronger and stronger. And so I'm like, oh, I'm constantly looking for the broken, the crippled, the blind. I'm trying to find them so I can go over to them, put hands on them, and pray for them. You see what I mean?
Your timing was...
Yes.
Your timing and everything was just right for you, too.
Right.
Because a lot of times people will come to Christ, and when you first come to Christ...
Yeah.
Your faith is just amazing because you're just like, holy mackerel, this
How
is
that
real,
happen?
This is true, and
right.
you're just on fire. Well, what happens with a lot of people
right. I know what you're, I know
is
where you're going.
You get, the fire doesn't really get quenched so much, but it gets kind of shoved down because depending on...
But that's because that individual allows that to go down. You have to keep the fire
not
going.
Always. Hold on.
Well, okay.
Hold right. on.
Well, for me,
yes,
I'm still on fire.
Yes, it does.
I'm still on
fire.
You're
still but, no Christian,
too. Yeah.
But depending on who you're around, what you're being taught after the fact, you know, a lot of times people will be in, like let's say, a liturgical church or something,
right,
where, you know, they realize that God is real, that Christ is real, and they start reading Scripture, but everybody around them is just kind of going through these hoops.
Motions,
they're
right,
just going through these motions,
uh-huh,
and they think that's what it's about.
It's not.
But you have been not only was it a good timing for you, but where you came from was beneficial, where you see yourself was beneficial, and the people that you were around at that time were saying, no, this is, keep moving, keep
right,
doing this, keep
right,
doing this. And fortunately, being even here, our church has come more and more on fire.
Because they see what's happened to me.
In just the last, well, I mean,
so,
it's not just because of people.
But
are
no, it's not just the, I realize that. But a lot of them see the what Jesus has done.
What I'm saying is you know, the weight has been pushing and pushing. Open up, people. You know, let's open up.
Yeah,
we've got to
yeah,
get
I know.
The Holy Spirit in here. People
right,
have been wanting it. We've been teaching it in class, teaching it from the pulpit.
Right.
People are teaching it in their small groups. People are getting to the point that they want this church to be that kind of a church. And so when your timing and your miracle and all those things came together,
yeah,
you also had a church going, yes, John, yes, John,
right,
yes, John. Not
so
now, hold on a minute, don't go, because, right, that's what a lot of times people in churches, they'll say, now, hold on a minute, you know, you're excited and you're a young Christian, but, yeah,
no,
but they weren't doing that.
I'm not, right,
and
right,
so all those things have come together, and I think it's fantastic, and, you know, when people do hear that it's happening with you or with anyone else, we are always encouraged.
The scripture that comes to mind for me is this is so simple, is, but it's, I forget that, I don't, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that we have to memorize scriptures, first of all, but I forget what it is, but here, it's wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, I know, I shouldn't argue with the teacher.
So far, John, you haven't gone to persecution for being a Christian. I did. I had a husband that wasn't saved. When I would come to
right,
the door, I was a righteous bitch. That was kind of the life I had.
Yeah, I know.
Day after day after day after
day. Day after day.
Right,
after day.
Right. Well, I think maybe in the beginning with the demons and having the when I cast out that first demon, do you consider that persecution?
No, the
being under demon attack.
Other people,
right, yeah. Well, I mean, I have had some people put me down that just, when I try to talk to them, don't believe, they push away from Jesus and they're atheists or whatever. But what I was trying to refer to about the scripture was, we have the same power that Jesus does. All you have to do is activate it. All you have to do, we trample over demons. We're supposed to heal the lepers, cast out demons, restore sight to the blind. You know what I'm talking about. Any Christian that's
yes,
a true believer is capable of doing those things in the Bible that Jesus talks about to his disciples.
I would say there's not many people in the United States suffering for Christ.
Right.
I mean, because you say, I'm a Christian, you're going to get killed or something
right,
like that. We don't live under that threat.
They right,
do
but they do. You see on the news where Jerusalem and Israel has been bombed. They were under heavy bombing, where they were just annihilating the coast of Jerusalem there, and being persecuted for being believing
yeah,
in Christ.
Yeah, I didn't hear on the news right away.
There are a lot of people in Jerusalem not Christian.
I know.
Yeah.
Which I have no understanding of that. If I was in that holy country, I'd be praising God every second walking on that ground, because that's where the new heaven's going to be.
Okay. I've got to address something you said.
Okay.
Yes, the power of Christ is in us because he's
right,
living in us, right? And the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Yes.
And you can access that power.
You can.
You don't own it. You can't claim it as yours.
Right.
But you can access it and you can yield it. You,
right,
you can utilize that power. And as long
yeah,
as we're in line with his will and what he wants us to do, as long as we are being obedient and in his will,
and that's what it takes,
then we can use that power.
You know how hard it's been for
power,
me to be obedient,
but What I want to say about is, you said you don't see anywhere that it says you got to memorize scripture. It does say that we're supposed to write it on our hearts. It does.
Right, but I'm talking about me. Like, you know how you can memorize scripture because you've done nothing but teach this. I have a hard time remembering scriptures, so I write them down. You see what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, what I was trying to say is, it's not a law of God that we have to memorize every scripture of the Bible.
No, what you need,
but I know what you mean by
it
in your
you
heart.
Need to have that basis in your heart so you know what you're being obedient to,
right,
and when you're being obedient and when you're not.
Thanks for the clarity. I appreciate
right, that's all I'm saying.
I know you are.
Because
I understand
you have
exactly.
to have that. You have to have that foundation.
I may not know the scripture, but I know what's in the scripture.
Yeah. Don't you think yeah. as you study the scripture then that the Holy Spirit tells you what you're doing wrong?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And you either listen or you go ahead and do what the flesh
wants. Well, I know when you hear a word from God or get a word from God or feel it in your heart, you need to do what He's telling you to do, because He's telling you to do that for a reason. So don't ever ignore
whatever it is.
I don't care what it is, because I've been in that position several times.
I will tell you, through my time of being a Christian, some people don't seem to be convicted of things.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm convicted of, or vice versa.
Probably because you are obedient.
So I think you live by your conviction.
I believe that. There you go.
I do what I feel the Lord's, and we know.
Telling you to do, right.
Yeah.
Or tell me not to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes the flesh wants to go ahead and do it anyhow.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least that's the way it's.
Dorothy's going to teach next Sunday. We're going to let Dorothy teach.
I'd be happy to let Dorothy.
You need a break? Yeah.
He's a good teacher.
We don't give him the scripture and let her just go with it. See what happens. We'll all go crazy.
You're right. People do get convicted. I mean, we all get convicted of that which is darkness and which is disobedience. We just don't all get convicted of it all at once.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, this guy sitting here, he might have just became a Christian, and he's got a filthy mouth, and he's still got a filthy mouth, and it doesn't mean that he doesn't believe in Christ because he's got a filthy mouth. Where this guy sitting here, no, he knows that filthy mouth needs to stop, because he needs to tame that tongue, because the tongue is something evil, and he grabbed hold of that scripture, and God gave him that scripture and said, you need to clean up your mouth and clean up your act.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that this guy is a better Christian than this guy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It means that this guy has been convicted of his filthy mouth, and this guy hasn't yet.
But you
right.
gotta do it
Amen.
Love with that guy or
he's not gonna think. Yes, and eventually I went to my buddy's house to watch the football game yesterday, and there was another friend of ours that was there who was not a Christian, but he plays around a little with scripture, with words and stuff. And he was being a jerk, and he said something about, my wife has to submit to me. And he said, right, Redmond, isn't that what the Bible says? Your wife has to submit to you? And I said, you're absolutely right. The Bible does say that. Now tell me what the rest of that scripture is. And he said, well, it's something about, I said, yeah, don't pull a context out. Said, don't pull scripture out of context, then come running to me to get me to agree with you.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
He's trying to get you to co-sign a loan for him.
I said, tell me what the rest of them said. He had nothing.
Yeah, he had nothing to say, dude.
Yeah.
I believe it. It's 10 o'clock already. What happened to that hour?
I don't know, because I thought we were going to move to the next one. I don't have much on this anymore. We just kind of were talking and got on different stuff.
Does that mean it's dying now?
What?
Is that when it beeps, does that mean it's dying? The battery's dying?
I don't know.
I think it is.
No.
Can I ask
no, it's got plenty of batter. Yeah, you can ask for prayer.
I had stomach surgery again. I had a reflux surgery back in 97, 2002. Got a hernia from it. Now it's like a huge baseball.
Oh.
You got a baby's head so
fast. Sure. Anything else? Hernia. I had a reflux surgery.
Oh,
they tied the thumb. Yeah. 1997, hernia in 2002, now it came back.
And is it extremely painful?
I got my heart burned back again.
Yeah.
Yeah, hard to breathe.
You know what? I think that'd be a good thing for up here to pray for. I'll come up
and
pray for you.
Yeah.
How about I come up?
We're on your last breath, too.
If nobody else does, when he calls prayer, I'll come up
here.
All right. We'll do it now, too.
We'll do it now, too.
Let's go. Lord, just thank you. Thank you for this group of people, Lord, and thank you for your word, and thank you for your guidance, and thank you, Lord, for just... You know, that power that you have, that you give us access to, Lord. And, Lord, if we are obedient to you and we step out in that faith, you just do miraculous things. And we just stand with our jaws open going, yes, you are so good, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you are. And you just do it over and over and over again. And help us, Lord. Help us all to be bold enough to step out. To step out in faith, Lord. You know, I remember the time that you called me to pray for that bus to start, and I thought, start a bus? And it sounded like the most ridiculous thing ever, but you just kept bugging me until I went over and did it, and then you did it. You just started a bus, and it was just incredible, but it wasn't really about the bus, Lord. It was about showing the people that you can do anything, and you really can, and we thank you for that. Help us to be bold enough, even if it makes us look silly.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if we look silly. If Paul can be imprisoned in a dungeon in chains, we can look silly. We can be wrong. We can look foolish.
Right.
Help us to never let that fear stop us from taking that step.
Amen.
Lord, we lift Kevin up to you, and we just pray right now that you would touch that hernia that he's got, that you would help to put things back into place, Lord, whether it's just giving him indigestion and heartburn, or whether it's something more painful at times, Lord, we just pray that you will just touch him right now. And Lord, when he steps forward up there today, we pray that you will just unleash your Holy Spirit, and you will push that back in and just fix things up, and you will put all those muscles back together exactly how they're supposed to be.
Amen.
And you will just take that away, and he will once again stand in awe of you and go, Jesus, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
We just thank you so much. You're a wonderful God. We lift up this week. We lift up this service today. And we just pray that you would keep us, keep your arms wrapped around us, Lord, and hold us up. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.